Well, since he was in diapers, I understand. So many of you have grown up listening to these two. Back, you played on this marble stage back in the 60s with Gamble and Will and all those folks. He's got a picture to prove it right here. Not yet.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. True history here at the Florida Folk Festival, right here on the old marble stage. Red drives down for a lot of these festivals from Winchester, Virginia. He lived in Florida for a long time, and you all might be familiar with Red Murphy, the bluegrass band. They lived in Hawthorne, Florida. But they were in Kansas, and that's where I first heard him. He's the guy I was telling you about earlier that played Hold Back the Waters.
One, two, three.
They were singing it, and
check.
I went,
one,
I like
two,
that song. And then I didn't realize, you know, till I got to Gainesville that the man who wrote the song lived in the area. So I'm very honored to introduce a man who can play just about everything. He's got a brand new CD out, too, that features a lot of his great mandolin tunes. And he's great on the fiddle. And he's great on the mandolin and guitar. It's just a musical family. And that doesn't even speak about your wife and your daughter who are great on the banjo and teach a lot of workshops.
Okay, one, two, three, four, five. This is checking a vocal mic. Five, four, three, two, one.
All right.
I learned that somewhere in
school. Put your hands together, please, and welcome Red Henry and Chris Henry.
One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. Well, you see, we're both mandolin players, Christopher and I are. And so before every song, there's this thing, which one of us gets to play a mandolin on this next one? My name's Red Henry. That is my son Christopher there with the mandolin now. Wanted to get that right out front so you wouldn't think we were Rowan and Martin or somebody. We've got a bunch of redneck rondelays that we picked up for you somewhere. And this is one done by a gentleman, written by Chubby Anthony. The first time I ever saw Chubby, he was standing right about here on this historic stage. Chubby was a great singer, a great songwriter, a great instrumentalist, whatever you wanted to do that had to do with the old time or the bluegrass music, he was the best. And this is an old-time number called I'll Try to Stay Out of Your Way. Often do I think of you, dear. There are times you're on my mind, but now you've gone away and left me. Do you think of what you've done? I'm all alone, dear, without you. There's not much that I can say, so I'll just watch the way I'm going. trying to stay out of your way. Once we vowed to love each other, and we promised to be true. But now those dreams, they all have vanished, and I'm lonesome without you. I'm all alone without you. There's not much that I can say, so I'll just watch the way I'm going and try to stay out of the way. I'm all alone without you. There's not much that I can say, so I'll just watch the way I'm going and try to stay out of the way. And try to stay out of the way. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Glad you liked that. Chubby was great. And we'll have several items for you here from some of our heroes like Chubby Anthony and Gamble Rogers and Will McLean. But I was just thinking before I came here, we're from this part of the country. Christopher and I are both born in Florida, and we're living in Virginia now. Every time we get back into this part of the world, we're always looking for something to tell us that we have come home again. This last trip, we needed to look no farther then the Hayhira, Georgia exit off Interstate 75, and I pulled into Homer's Exxon station to get some gas. And I entered this vast mechanistic milieu. I mean, there are 8 or 9 people at the pumps getting gassed up. There are 3 or 4 people up on the grease racks getting lubricated. There's somebody getting his wheel bearings packed. There's an old boy in the corner changing a rack and pinion. It was all this scene of domestic tranquility in Concord. When into this peaceful panorama, there hove a raucous element in the form of a 1974 Plymouth Roadrunner with a back end 3 feet up in the air. He had big Goodyear Series 60 wide boot racing tires on the car, 1.5 feet wide, with big white letters on the side of each tire that said "Redneck." As the vehicle approached, we could ascertain the operator was a local wild-eyed Arcadian whose hair looked like a box of Nabisco shredded wheat that had just come out of a Kansas hailstorm. He was wearing one of these JCPenney see-through fishnet t-shirts with nothing on under it. He wheeled on up into the tarmac there, slammed the gear shift lever up into park, causing the entire vehicle to lurch erratically back and forth in its suspension, choosing the exact spot in that whole mystical panorama that would totally immobilize everything. Nobody could go anywhere. The car door opened and he fell out on the ground, holding up a mostly empty bottle of J.W. Nat and hollered, "Holy Christ, Homer, I'm drunk. Somebody come park this thing for me." And I knew that I was home. I'll tell you what, it's time for you to sing one for us, Christopher. What do you have?
How about an old Stanley Brothers tune? Any Stanley Brothers fans? Yeah, me too. This is called Riding on the Midnight Train. 1, 2, 3, 4. No matter what I say or do, you're never satisfied. I've tried so many times, I'm leaving you now, goodbye.
I'm riding on that midnight train, my head's hanging low.
These awful blues will follow me wherever I may go. I'll never understand. To fall in love with one like you, love with another. heart's rate, my head's hanging low. These awful blues will follow me wherever I may go. Follow me wherever I may go.
Christopher Henry.
Thank you.
We have a Will McLean song for you now. This is one that was recorded a long time ago by Will and Paul Champion and Gamble Rogers. And Gamble used to tell a story about the three of them. They made a trip to New York City. This was back in the mid-60s. They had some gigs to do there and some recording to do. And also it was arranged that Will was going to meet Pete Seeger. And so Pete was in a recording session himself. They went over to the place on the day they made the appointment for and went in the recording studio. And Will met Pete and Pete met Will. And Will had brought a cut from his record album that wasn't released yet. He had it on a reel-to-reel tape about like that. And the recording engineer put this tape on the tape machine and punched play. And the story was that Pete Seeger heard that music start, and it was Will singing and Gamble and Paul playing the guitars. And Pete closed his eyes and lay down on the studio carpet and listened to that all the way through. And when it was over, he said, "You know, I think that's the prettiest music I ever heard." And I can't play guitar like Gamble and Paul put together, but we can sure sing the song. It's called Osceola's Last Words. In a dungeon deep at St. Augustine, Chief Osceola worked for his people and his chosen land. His body had not slept. Then Wildcat said, "Oh, Chief, I beg you, go and stand with me against our mortal foe." But Osceola held his proud head high, said, "Do this ere I die." A Wildcat brother to the grassy waters, take the Seminole. Then a white man can invade to leave you lying dead and cold. I shall not live among such evil men who mock the sign of truce, this flag of white, and honor not their given sacred word. My name shall be the light that shines in every warrior's soul. In dark and hidden reaches, they shall never drive us from our land, nor drain our blood like leeches. My spirit walks with those of you who die, and those of you who always will remain. Upon this blood-stained, blessed flowered land, must fight and fight again. My spirit walked with those of you who die, and those of you who always will remain. Upon this blood-stained, blessed flowered land, must fight and fight again. Thank you. Thank you. That's been one of our favorite numbers for a long time. Tell you what, Donna, how much, okay, good. I'll tell you what, we ought to do one that everybody here can join in with. Christopher, I want to sing this. This is a number written by the great songwriter in Chicago, Michael Smith, and it's one that Gamble used to sing a lot, and I'd just like for us all to sing this, a love song, and I'm sure that a lot of people here are going to know the words. and it's called Margaret and the Dutchman. The Dutchman's not the kind of man to keep his thumb jammed in the dam that holds his dreams in. But that's a secret only Margaret knows. When Amsterdam is golden in the summer, Margaret brings him breakfast, she believes him. He thinks the tulips bloom beneath the snow, he's mad as he can be, but Margaret only sees that sometimes. Sometimes she sees her unborn children in his eyes. Now sing this together. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee. Long ago, I used to be a young man. Dear Margaret remembers that for me. The Dutchman still wears wooden shoes, his cap and cloak are patched with love that Margaret sewed in. Sometimes he thinks he's still in Rotterdam. He watches tugboats up canals and calls out to them when he thinks he knows the captain. Dear Margaret comes to fetch him home again, through unforgiving streets that trip him, though she holds his arm. Sometimes she thinks that he's alone and calls her name. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee. Long ago, I used to be a young man. Dear Margaret remembers that for me. Well, if you didn't know the chorus by now, I hope you learned it. Windmills whirl the winter in, she winds his muffler tighter. They sit in the kitchen. Some tea with whiskey keeps away the dew. He sees her for a moment. She makes the bed up singing some old love song. He learned it when the song was very new. They hum a line or two, they hum together in the dark. The Dutchman falls asleep and Margaret blows the candle out. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee. Long ago, I used to be a young man. Dear Margaret remembers that for me. The Dutchman falls asleep, and Margaret blows the candle out. Thank you. I'll tell you what, let's get out two mandolins here.
Can we do something violent?
Sure.
All right. You knew that was coming, folks.
I learned this from a friend of mine named Agamemnon Abramowitz. After Agamemnon had been accosted by the DeKalb County Law for his overly precipitous passage through downtown Marietta, Claremont looked out his car window and saw the sheriff approaching. He knew right away he was dealing with a wild man. I mean, the sheriff had on a white styrofoam pith helmet with a red STP decal on the front. He had a shoulder holster made out of a PF Flyer, a sneaker with a toe cut out. He had two bandolier-style cartridge belts strapped across his bare chest, the cartridge loops of which were alternately stocked with Havatampa jewels and Slim Jims. He was wearing a breech clout made out of two Fruhoff tractor trailer mud flaps. The sheriff had every high-performance accessory known to man on his county perform vehicle. He had high-rise hooker headers. He had cherry bomb exhaust resonators, a coon tail, a Le Mans racing stripe on his Massey Ferguson farm tractor. He came over to Claremont and said, "Boy, don't you be talking nasty and spiteful and mean to me like none of these hippy-dip communist pinko punks comes through here from Macon. And them Volkswagen micro-body campers with a chemical commode in the back of them like some kind of mobile orgy." I was writing out a ticket for one of these long-haired fruits. He leaned out the window and said to me, "Baby, give me 5 cheeseburgers and a Coke." I hauled him out of that contraption and chucked him through a Wake Up America billboard. So don't you give me none of your fat lip. Now, I can see you're a homeboy under all that hair. Sheriff looked over on the other side of the car, and there was Claremont's mandolin. It was nestled in a pile of grit newspapers, which Agamemnon had been smoking when he was apprehended and was unable to swallow. The sheriff said, "Can you play that thing?" Agamemnon said, "Yeah." The sheriff said, "Well, okay. You play me a tune and I'll let you go free." So Agamemnon played him this tune. And the sheriff let him go free, but he did give him a traffic citation. Traffic citations around there in the form of bumper stickers. The sheriff peeled the back off the bumper sticker, licked it, plastered it on the back of Agamemnon's car and drove away. Agamemnon went back there to see what it said. "This car climbed Mount Dora."
Thank you.